إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session dealing with the topic of mujibat and najat yawm al-qiyamah, yani the causes or the reasons due to which a person will be saved from punishment on the day of standing, on the day of resurrection, the day of counting. And we have been reading, yani, from these points which have been conveyed to us by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Yani, in the first week, we talked about the importance of this topic, and the Shaykh mentioned two incidents from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, showing how they viewed the importance of searching for, seeking out, and trying to implement in our lives those things which would be the saving factors that would protect us and save us from punishment on the day of resurrection. And after that, and we mentioned two of the most important fundamental mujibat of najat on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And in the second session last week, we mentioned a few more points. So, if somebody can just quickly, yani, help me to remember one of the yani incidents that took place amongst Sahaba that shows the importance of yani this topic of knowing and seeking out and searching for those things which would be the means of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Naam.
Since the first day?
Yeah, from the first day, yani, the Shaykh related two incidents that took place. Naam, one.
Yeah, so, there is a story when Umar radiallahu anhu said salam to Usman radiallahu anhu, and he didn't answer, so he went to complain to Abu Bakr.
The story of Umar radiallahu anhu, who passed by Uthman radiallahu anhu and gave salams to him, and Uthman did not reply to him, so he complained to the Khalifa Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they came back to him, and yani the summary of the story, yani, was what?
He was thinking about how to Uthman.
The reason why Uthman didn't respond to Umar was not because he didn't want to return salams. His mind was so engulfed, occupied with thinking about this matter of what will be the means of my salvation from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that he didn't notice what was happening around him or who was passing him by. I mean, that story is of great importance, and it's a tremendous reminder to us of how those people who were in a better position to hope and expect that they would be saved from punishment, they are in a better position than anybody today, and yet they were very, very concerned about this matter. How much more so then should we be concerned about what will be the factors, what will be the causes, what will be the means that will save us from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Okay, and the second story, yani, was related to who? If anybody just remembers who it was related to?
Abdullah ibn Rawaha.
Naam, radiallahu anhu. And in summary, in brief, his story was?
He came back home and he saw his wife crying.
He saw his wife crying.
He asked her, why are you crying?
He asked her why she was crying.
I saw you crying.
She said, I was crying because I saw you crying.
So she asked him, what is it that made you cry? And he said, he mentioned the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Maryam,
And she asked him then, why were you crying? And he mentioned the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam. Naam. The meaning of which is that there's no one of the human beings except that they would either be present at the place, yani crossing over the fire, or they would enter into the fire itself, or at least, yani they would experience, yani something of the fright and fear of the fire. Everyone, nobody would escape from this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He would save those who observe taqwa, yani from the fire and from the punishment of the fire. And the other people, yani the zalimeen, the wrongdoers, the sinful, the people of shirk, and those people would be punished. And he said this ayat caused him, yani to have, yani this state of mind that caused him to cry from fear of whether or not I will be from those who will be saved, or I will be from those who will be thrown into the hellfire. Companion of the Prophet ﷺ, and he's worried, will he be of the people who will be punished in the hellfire, or will be saved from it? And this is something that, yani we should be concerned about. Yani will I be from those people who will be saved from that punishment, or I will be punished? And the matter, yani is in your hands to do something that will be the means or the cause of you being saved. And from amongst the most important, or the most important factor that will save a person from punishment on Yawmul Qiyamah is, number one, the Tawheed. The establishment of Tawheed, as is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And the bottom line is that he said, yani, that this Tawheed, the implementation, the realization, the actualization of Tawheed, not just the expression of the word La ilaha illallah, but implementing it in our lives, yani making the deen purely for Allah alone, and making every act of worship for Allah alone, that will be the means of a person being saved on Yawmul Qiyamah. And nobody will be saved from punishment on Yawmul Qiyamah unless they have a Tawheed established in their life. And we said at that point, the Shaykh mentioned that the people who will be saved of two types, yani they would either be saved yani from any punishment whatsoever, yani from ad-dukhul in the hellfire, or they will be saved from Al-Khulood, from remaining permanently in the hellfire, meaning that they might be punished for some sins that they committed and they didn't repent from. If they died upon Tawheed, they may be punished, but they will not remain in the hellfire eternally. And the second matter that we mentioned, most important after the first, the second most important factor, Al-Inayah bis-Sunnah, yani giving care to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning it, understanding it, and implementing it in our lives. Last week we mentioned a number of things. The first of them was an ayah from the Quran, which the Shaykh said contained four factors. Four factors. Somebody help us. Our obedience to Allah, obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody help. Khashatullah. And the last one in the ayat, taqwa of Allah. Naam. So the Shaykh emphasized the importance of al-khashya, and that khashya is the thing that drives a person, that moves and motivates a person to be obedient to Allah, and to be obedient to the Messenger of Allah, and to observe taqwa of Allah. He said that the more a person has knowledge of Allah, the more they would have yani khashya of Allah, and the more a person has khashya of Allah, the more they would be seeking obedience to Allah and distancing themselves from disobedience to Allah. After that, he mentioned the hadith of Uqbah ibn Amir, radiallahu anhu. Now, Naam, naam, naam. Yani that a person has to control their tongue. Yani make their house spacious, meaning be content. Yani suffice with their home in the time of fitna. And the third one, وَبْكِ عَلَى خَطِيَتِكَ. Yani that a person should cry over their sins, should feel remorse, and he should feel sad about their sins, should repent from their sins sincerely, and try to yani avoid going back to them. And the second hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, put in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Jabir, naam. He said, anybody remember that hadith? He mentioned in it also a number of things, yani. The first of them, he said, huh? Naam. He said that, oh Messenger of Allah, what do you think if I perform the obligatory prayers, and haramtu al-haram, and ahlaltu al-halal, do you think that I will enter the paradise? And the Prophet ﷺ said he would. And he said, I wouldn't do any more than that, meaning that I would consider whatever Allah has made lawful as lawful and act upon that. And I would consider whatever Allah made haram as haram, and I would act upon that, and I would fulfill yani the obligation of the five prayers, meaning the duties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated us with. Today, yani that's a summary of some of what we covered last week and the week before, and today inshallah we'd like to return yani to those factors, the mujibat and najat, yani those things which would be causes or reasons which would necessitate a person to be saved from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Shaykh mentions a few more matters, and hopefully we'll be able to complete them today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. If not, then we'll finish them in the next week and perhaps take some of the questions that were at the end of this topic. Okay, so yani the Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ النَّجَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَن تَتَذَكَّرَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ الْعَظِيمِ أَن تَتَذَكَّرَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ الْعَظِيمِ. Yani from those factors, from the causes or reasons of a person being saved from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is that they remember, that they be reminded of that great, tremendous day, yani Yawm al-Qiyamah. That they be reminded of it, yani the Yawm al-Din, yani the day in which people would be compensated for their deeds in this world, rewarded or punished according to yani if they have done good or otherwise. الذي تقف فيه بين يدي الله يوم المجازات والمحاسبة يوم الدين. Yani to remember, to be reminded, to call to mind that day in which you would stand on that day in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day in which people would be recompensed for their deeds, the day in which accounts would be taken, yani يوم الدين. And the Shaykh, he mentions an ayat or a few ayats from the Quran, from Surah Al-Infitar, 82nd Surah, 17 through 19. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. Yani these ayats are preceded, yani the ayats that the Shaykh mentioned are preceded by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he mentions that the righteous people would be in Jannah, and the wicked, sinful people would be in a blazing fire. And they would enter into that fire, yani the sinful disbelievers, they would enter that fire and burn in it on the Yawm al-Din, yani the day in which no one would be absent, everyone would be present on that day. And then, yani those ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned came, yani about Yawm al-Din, yani showing the greatness and the magnitude of that day. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And what will make you to know, yani to understand, to see, yani the magnitude of the day of deen, the day of accounting, when people's deeds would be taken into account. Yani to show the greatness of this day, this expression, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. What will make you to know? Yani to see it in its fullness. ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And again, Allah repeats, showing the importance of this day. What will make you to know what is this day, يوم الدين, the day of accounting? And then Allah explains, what is this يوم الدين? يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا. Yani the day in which no soul will have power, will possess any power to help another soul. Nobody will be able to help anybody. Even those who are closest to you, most dear and beloved to you, nobody will be able to help anyone else. Rather, everyone on that day will be totally occupied with their self, not being concerned about freeing anyone else from the punishment of that day. This is the Yawm al-Din. يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. They will not possess the power to help anyone else at all in any matter whatsoever. وَالْعَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. And the affair, the decision, the judgment on that day would be for Allah alone. Not only would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have complete power and control of the affair on that day, but on that day, unlike in this world, no one will even contest Allah's authority and power. Unlike in this world, when somebody claims to be a ruler, a king, a president, or whatever. Nobody on that day will claim any power. Rather, it will be clear that the affair is all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنَّ تَذَكْرُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَأَحْوَالِهِ وَشَدَائِدِهِ وَأَنَّ النَّاسِ فِيهِ فَرِيقًا. And also that indeed the remembrance of that day and its terrors and its hardships, and that the people on that day will be two parties. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. One party will be in the paradise. وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. And another party will be in the fire. This remembrance of this day, and the terrors and fears and frights and horrors of that day, and that the people would be divided into two parties on that day, يُوجِبُ خَوْفًا وَاسْتِعْدَادًا لِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ الْعَظِيمِ. This is what يعني would force a person, compel a person, يعني obligate a person to have fear of that day, and would compel a person to prepare, to make preparation for that great day. The Shaykh says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَى النَّاجِينَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُمْ يَتَحَدَّثُونَ عَنْ سَبَبْ نَجَاتِهِمْ فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Yani, look at those people who will be saved on the day of Qiyamah. They would be speaking to one another about the cause of their being saved. And this came in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as those who will be given their book in their right hand. Yani, as for the people who will be given their record, their account in their right hand, they will be saying, here, take this, read my record. Read my record. This is in Surah Al-Haqqa, 69th Surah, 19th Ayah, the Shaykh says, so what is the cause or the reason of their being saved? What is the sabab of them being taking their book or their record or their account in their right hands? Yani, what did they say? He said, yani, the cause or the reason of receiving one's book in the right hand, meaning the sign that a person would be saved, that they would be successful. Yani, that they would be of those who are fortunate to earn the pleasure of Allah and His reward. He said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, inni, that person would say, inni zanantu anni mulakin hisabiyya. Yani, that indeed I did believe that I would meet my account. Yani, I knew while I was in this world that account would be taken and that I would be called to account, and this was the reason, the cause of that person's salvation. Inni zanantu anni mulakin hisabiyya. Yani, that I knew that I would be meeting my account. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ. So this person would be in a life that would be رَاضِيَةٍ, that they would be pleased with. And they would be in high, lofty, in a high, lofty garden, yani in Jannah. And here I want to stop and say that, yani this, yani when we read the Quran, sometimes we don't put things in perspective. Yani, we don't yani consider yani the magnitude of the affair or the reality of it or how it applies to each one of us personally. Here, if anyone reflects on these ayat that the Shaykh has brought here, it has to have a tremendous effect on your behavior, on your conduct, on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's a person who will be given their record in their right hand, meaning they will be saved from punishment, and they will be saying, they will be happy to say, look, read my record, look what we have here. And they would be saying that the reason why I'm taking my book in my right hand and I'm saved is because I knew, I believed, I was certain that yani, that the account was being taken, and that yani, we will be called to account, and this would be a means of my salvation. So that person would be in a good life that they will be pleased with. They will be in lofty gardens, as opposed to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another place in the Quran, innahum. Yani, the Shaykh didn't mention this ayat, I'm just yani mentioning it as a contrast for us. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innahum kanu la yarjuna hisaba. Innahum kanu la yarjuna hisaba. Wa kadhabu bi ayatina kadhaba. Yani, that these people, they didn't have hope of account. Yani, they didn't believe, they didn't look forward to an account, and therefore what? If there's no account in one's heart, in their mind, in their consciousness, then yani, the human being might do whatever they feel like doing. They didn't used to have hope of one account. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to believe and to know and to be certain and to hope for a day of accounting and to prepare ourselves for that account. So indeed, the cause of the person's success, the Shaykh, he says, يعني أنه ظن ومعنى ظن أي اعتقد يعني إني ظننت أني ملاك حسابية يعني that إني اعتقدت I did indeed believe in the life of this world that I would meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another verse in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah At-Tur, 52nd Surah, 26 and 27, Ayat, قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ That they will say, yani the people who will be saved on that day from punishment, they will say, indeed, we were before, yani in the world, amongst our family, مُشْفِقِينَ yani in fear of earning the displeasure of Allah. And this caused them to do what? Yani to be obedient to Allah. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us and He protected us from the terrible punishment and the torment of a blazing, scorching fire. Yani again, yani the point is that in this life a person has to be conscious of the day of accounting and fear of Allah's displeasure and His punishment and therefore yani rectify our behavior, correct our deeds, and comply with the commands of Allah and turn to Him in repentance. فَتَذَكْرُ ذَلْكَ الْيَوْمَ الْعَظِيمِ الْعَصِيبِ وَأَنَّكَ سَتَقِفْ أَمَامَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي يَوْمَ الْمُجَازَاتِ يعني that is the reminder of that great day. يعني that day in which يعني people will be in a critical situation. Remembering that one will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when people will be compensated for their deeds. And here the Shaykh mentions from Surah An-Najm, yani 53rd Surah, 31st Ayat. Yeah, Khalid, it's okay, leave it because it's kind of noisy. It's too much noise coming in from outside.
Okay.
Yeah, it's too much noise. I'm like struggling to overcome it. Jazakallah khair. So remembering that great day, yani that critical time in which people will be standing before Allah and accounts will be taken and people will be compensated for their deeds. And the Shaykh mentions ayah from Surah An-Najm, 53rd Surah, 31st Ayat. لِيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى Yani on that day, people will be compensated. Yani those who did evil would be compensated in accord with their deeds. They will be compensated in accordance with their deeds. And those people who did good, then they also will be compensated, yani bil husna, yani in accordance with their deed. Those who ahsanu will be rewarded with husna, that is al jannah. And this reminds us of the principle, yani al jazaa min jins al amal, that people would be rewarded in accordance with their deed. Those who did, yani sayyiat, would be yani compensated accordingly, and those who did hasanat would be compensated accordingly. The Shaykh says, indeed, this remembrance necessitates a person to prepare and to make themselves ready for this tremendous great day. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ يعني سورة البقرة, 2nd Surah, 203rd Ayat. Observe taqwa of Allah. And know, indeed, that you will be gathered, returned and gathered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever knows that he will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he must also know that Allah will be questioning him. And if a person knows that Allah will be questioning him, then it is incumbent upon that person to prepare for that questioning and a response. And that response be a correct response. Prepare an answer for that questioning. So from those things that have been mentioned, yani fine point, yani of benefit that's mentioned concerning this particular topic is the story of Fudayl ibn Iyad, radiallahu anhu wa rahimahullah. May Allah be pleased with him and have mercy upon him. When he met a man, kana mufarritan, who had been negligent in his duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, And he said to that man, "Kam amdayta min as-sinin?" Yani, how many years, how long have you been living? And the man said, 60 years. And Fudayl ibn Iyad radiyallahu anhu wa rahimahullah, he said, "Awama alimta annaka fi tariqin?" Did you not know that you are on a road? Yani, that you are traveling on a road. وَقَدْ أَوْشَقْتَ أَن تَبْلُغَ نِهَايَتَهُ, and you have nearly reached the end of the road. Yani, the end of life. Yani, so how many of us are 60 years old, or 50 years old, or yani, older than that, or a little bit younger? Indeed, the Prophet ﷺ said that the umr, أُمَّتِي بَيْنَ 60 وَسَبْعِينَ سَنَةً, yani that the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. So based upon this, Fudayl told the man that you are near the end of life. Yani, didn't you know that you are near the end of life? And the man, when he heard this, and that he is near the end of the road, he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Fudayl said to him, "Do you know what is the explanation, yani, of this statement that you have just made?" And the man said, "What is this explanation?" And Fudayl, rahimahullah, he said to him, "Inna lillahi," it means, "Ana lillahi abdun," that I am a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi, I am a slave, an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, it means, "Ana ilayhi raji'un," and that I am going to return to him. So Fudayl, after explaining this meaning to him, he said, فَإِذَا عَلَمْتَ أَنَّكَ لِلَّهِ عَبْدٌ وَأَنَّكَ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ سَائِلُكَ. If you know, yani with certainty, that you are a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you are going to return to him, then know that he will question you. فَإِذَا عَلَمْتَ أَنَّهُ سَائِلُكَ فَعِدَّ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ جَوَابًا. And if you know that he is going to question you, then prepare for this questioning an answer. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مَا الْحِيلَةُ. So what is the solution? Yani, what is the way out of this situation that I am in now at the end of life, and I have yani, been negligent, and I have fallen short, and I have done a lot of wrong. So what now at this point in life? قَالَ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ يَسِيرًا. Yani, the solution is very easy. He said, so what is it? He said, أَحْسِن فِي مَا بَقِيَ يُغْفَرْ لَكَ مَا قَدْ مَضَى. Yani, do well concerning whatever remains of your life, and you will be forgiven for what has passed. Yani, do well in the whatever time you have remaining, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you what has passed. Yani, repent to Allah, rectify your life, and do better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, pardoning, merciful. He will forgive you what has passed. فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ أَسَأْتَ فِي مَا بَقِيَ أُخِذْتَ فِيمَا بَقِيَ وَفِيمَا مَضَى. While if you do evil in what remains, then you will be called to account concerning that which remains and that which has passed. And this is an important note or observation, especially those who have lived a long time. Yani, who have already had a long life. They have been here for a long time, for 50 or 60 or 70 years. And again, it's not only for the elders, but especially those who it is clear that they are at the end of life. How long is a person going to live? Yani, another 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years? There's no doubt that if a person is 60 or 70 years old, then yani, the life that they have lived yani, is pretty much finished. And what remains in comparison to what has passed is little. So the Shaykh said, there is an important note, especially for those who have already lived a long time, and they have been remiss, they have been negligent in the wajibat of the deen. And they have committed some of the sinful acts and offenses in Islam. Then it is upon that person, عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَدَارَكَ نَفْسَهُ فِي مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ عُمْرِهِ فَلْيُحْسِنْ فِي هَذَا الَّذِي بَقِيَ. Then it is incumbent upon that person to set right, to correct, to make amends concerning that which remains of their life, and to do well in that which remains. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ كَمْ هَذَا الَّذِي بَقِيَ. And how, yani, would a person know? how much remains, yani? Or the meaning may be, yani, we don't know how much remains. The Shaykh says, perhaps it may be days. Perhaps it may be months. Perhaps it may be 1 year. لا تدري, you don't know. فأحسن فيما بقي يغفر لك ما قد مضى كل الذي مضى يغفر لك إذا تبت وأحسنت فيما بقي غفر لك كل ما مضى فإن أسعت فيما بقي أخذت فيما بقي وفيما مضى. So the point is that a person should try, and if a person has been negligent in their life, whether young or old, and they came to the realization that they're going to return to Allah, then do well in what remains of your life. Because even young people might have just a few days remaining, or a few weeks, or a few months, or 1 year. There's no guarantee that because you're young that you have a long life ahead. Rather, for everyone, it is possible, nobody knows how much remains in their life. It could be only a few days for any one of us sitting here, or less than that, or a few months, or a few years, or 1 year. Allahu alam, nobody knows. Therefore, do well in what remains, and you will be forgiven for what has passed. Everything that has passed, you will be forgiven for it. If you repent and you do well in what remains, you will be forgiven for what passed. And if you do evil in what remains, then you will be called to account for that which has passed, and يعني that which remains and that which passed. The shahid, أن من أسباب النجاة تذكر يوم الجزاء والحساب مما يعين العبد على الاستعداد لذلك اليوم والتهيؤ ليوم المعاد. يعني the point here is that from those causes or the reasons that would necessitate a person being saved on يوم القيامة, and that would help a person to prepare for that day and to be ready for the day of return, it is remembering, being reminded of the day of recompense, the day of accounting. Indeed, this is from the causes of salvation, and it's from those things that would aid and support and assist and strengthen and motivate a person to be prepared and to be ready for the day of accounting. After this, the Shaykh mentions another tremendous matter from the mujibat al-najat yawm al-qiyamah. من أسباب النجاة كثرة الدعاء واللجوء إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. كثرة الدعاء, making a lot of dua. يعني from the causes of salvation on يوم القيامة is that a Muslim supplicates to Allah plentifully, abundantly, frequently, as much as possible. يعني never feel that you have supplicated to Allah too much. Rather, the more you call upon Allah, يعني the more benefit will come to you. Because number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to call on Him and He will respond. So Allah will answer you. And number two, every dua is ibadah. Ad-dua huwa al-ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dua is the core, the essence of ibadah. So every time you supplicate to Allah, that is a hasana. That will be recorded for you on your scales on yawm al-qiyamah, yani as 10 good deeds, up to 700 or as much as Allah wills. So from the causes of salvation on yawm al-qiyamah is kathratu ad-du'a wal-luju'i ila Allah, and seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرَ, yani refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His displeasure and from His punishment in this world and more importantly in the next. For indeed, yani the reason why a person should supplicate to Allah and seek refuge in Allah is because the matter is in the hand of Allah. The salvation from punishment on the Yawm al-Qiyamah is in the hand of Allah. And there is no فَلَا نَجَاتَ إِلَّا لِمَن نَجَّاهُ اللَّهِ, yani there is no salvation. No one will be saved from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah except the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved. فَاتْلُبْ نَجَاتَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Therefore seek your salvation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says, الدعاء مفتاح كل خير في الدنيا والآخرة. Yani dua is the key for every good in this world and in the next. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, second surah, 186 ayat, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي. Yani if my worshippers are asking you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, I am near. And it is worth noting that there are many ayats in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani if my worshippers, if the people ask about this, that or the other, and Allah says to the Prophet, then you say to them, such and such and so, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell the Prophet to respond to the people. Rather, Allah answers Himself, and this is a clear indication to anyone who would reflect upon the reality that dua can only be made to Allah, because Allah is the only one who answers dua. There's no need in calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on any prophet or any saints or righteous, because Allah is the one who answers dua. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers Himself. He says, I am near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِنِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I answer the supplication of the one who supplicates if or when he calls upon me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. Then they must, yani my worshippers, those who call upon me, they must answer me, answer my call. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And they must believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And this way they may be guided. So from the conditions yani of dua being accepted is that yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is without need, promises if you call upon Him, He will answer you, but He demands that when He calls upon you that you answer Him. Yani you are the one in need. If Allah calls upon you, you are in need. How is it that you would not answer Him and then you call upon Him and expect that He should answer you? Rather, you must answer Allah's call, you must believe in Allah and establish a tawheed and be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ghafir, 40th surah, 60th ayat, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ عُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call, and your Lord says, call upon me and I will answer you. And again here, the singular is used, أَسْتَجِبُ, and we know that the plural is used in the Quran in many places. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Himself in many places in the Quran with the plural. What yani some people call in English the royal we, and the meaning of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes yani He has appointed or He has empowered yani the angels or others to do some things on His behalf, yani that He has enabled them to do and authorized them to do, but indeed it is Allah alone yani that has power over everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it crystal clear here that He singly alone is the one who answers the dua, not the Prophet or any Prophet or any angel or any righteous person, but it is Allah, yani who answers the call of the one who calls upon Him. The Shaykh again says that a dua is the key of every good, and for this reason, whoever wants for himself salvation, فَلْيُكْثِرْ الدُّعَى. Yani then, be frequent and plentiful and abundant in calling upon Allah. Yani, so this is a key for us. Every one of us has to ask ourselves, am I of those people who call upon Allah a lot? Or is it that I am of those who call upon Allah only when in need? Yani, when I'm in difficulty or hardship? Yani, the believer who understands the reality of the affair should be from amongst those who frequently supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, الدُّعَى بِالثَّبَاتِ, الدُّعَى بِالسَّلَامَةِ مِنَ الزَّيْغِ, الدُّعَى بِالصَّلَاةِ, الدُّعَى بِالْهِدَايَةِ, وَأَعْظَمُ الدُّعَى لَلْإِطْلَاقِ, الدُّعَى الَّذِي فِي فَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ, اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Yani that a person should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for الثَّبَات. And this is a tremendous thing that one should ask for. Yani that Allah keep us firm, steadfast. Because how many people have been guided to the correct path and then they deviated? And then they deviated. And the Prophet ﷺ told us, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكْ. O the one who controls the hearts, make my heart firm upon your deen. Make my heart firm upon your deen. This is the dua that no one should do without. This is the dua that we should be saying every day. Every day. And there's no limited amount of times you can say it. Dua for al-thabat, to remain firm. If you are upon the straight path, that you remain firm upon the straight path. And the dua to be saved from deviation. Naam, to be saved from deviation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, yani to supplicate that, ha, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Yani, do not cause our hearts to go astray, to deviate after you have guided us. That means this is a supplication that's for the people who have been guided. That they what? Ask Allah to protect us from going astray after you have guided us. Ad-du'a bis-salah, yani bi righteousness. Ad-du'a bil-hidayah, that Allah, yani ask Allah for guidance. And the greatest of all supplications, yani absolutely, with no exception, is the dua that's contained in the opening of the book, yani al-Fatiha, yani ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. Guide us upon the straight path. For indeed, if Allah has guided you upon His straight path, then you will be saved in your worldly affairs and in your hereafter. And this is the greatest supplication, absolutely. And from the indications of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala افترضه على العباد في اليوم والليلة سبع عشرة مرة بعدد ركعات الصلوات المكتوبة. And from the indications that this is the greatest of all supplications is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon His servants, upon His worshippers, in a day and a night to supplicate with this supplication 17 times every day. Yani the number of rak'ah that are in the obligatory prayers. Yani 17 rak'ah that we perform of obligatory prayers every day, 17 times at least. One has to supplicate with this supplication, O Allah, guide us upon the straight path. And there's no dua that Allah has made obligatory upon the servants. Like this dua, guide us upon the straight path. وَمَا أَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنْ عَوَامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْرَى سُورَةُ الْفَاتِحَةَ وَلَا يَشْعُرُ وَلَا يَسْتَشْعِرُ أَنَّهَا دُعَاءٌ عِنْدَمَا يَقُولُ اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And here the Shaykh makes also another point that's for every one of us. Yani if you're an exception from this, alhamdulillah, praise Allah. And if you are not the exception from this, then praise Allah that Allah has brought it to your attention, that Allah has made us to understand. As the Shaykh says here, that there are many, yani in spite of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory upon us to supplicate with this supplication at least 17 times a day, in addition, like, yani, in spite of that, there are many from the common people from amongst the Muslims who read or recite Surah Al-Fatiha without any consciousness or awareness that this is a dua when they are saying Ihdina Surat Al-Mustaqeem. And how many people are reciting Al-Fatiha without any consciousness of any of what is said in it? How many of us into the prayer sometimes with our minds distracted and might recite Al-Fatiha and whatever came after it and the adhkar of ruku and sujood, and in the end of the prayer we don't remember what we did? May Allah save us from this. The Shaykh is talking about one line in Al-Fatiha and we're saying the whole of the salat in ruku and sujood. Some of us are unconscious of what we're doing. If a person doesn't enter the prayer in the right state of mind, yani having listened to and repeated the adhan and made wudu properly, conscious of what they are doing, and performed yani two rak'ah upon entering the masjid or some sunnah prayers before the salat, to put yourself in the right state of mind, it's possible that you might miss most of your salat. The Prophet ﷺ said that a man might perform the prayer in which he would only receive the reward of half of it. Yani due to what? Due to not yani being conscious of what you're doing in the prayer. Or a person might perform the prayer and only receive rubu, yani 1/4 of it. Or 1/5 of it, or 1/6, or 1/7, or 1/8, or 1/9, or 1/10. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith that a man performed salat for 60 years and not ma qubila minhu salatun, not even one prayer of his was accepted. Not even one prayer. 60 years, a lifetime. So what the Shaykh is saying here is of critical importance to us, and that many of the Muslims from the common people, rather, even from the uncommon people, we dare to say, might be reciting Al-Fatiha without consciousness at the time when they're reciting it, even if they know that Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim is a dua, they might not be conscious of it at the time that they're saying it, and sometimes it might be that we might be reciting this supplication of the utmost importance without even reflecting upon yani what we are doing. Is there any expectation that Allah would answer the supplication of the person who supplicates while their heart is ghafil lahin, yani while they are unaware, inattentive, unmindful of what they are doing? Do we expect that Allah will answer that supplication? Kalla, no way. We have to be aware, we have to be conscious of what we're saying. The Shaykh says, and it is for this reason, وَلِهَذَا مِمَّا جَاءَ عَنْ شَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنِ عَبْدُ الْوَهَّابِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَوْلُهُ يَنْبَغِي أَيُتَنَبَّى أوام المسلمين على أن قوله اهدنا صراط مستقيم دعاء فهذا دعاء عظيم بل هو أعظم الدعاء وجله. So for this reason, from that which has come from Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, is his saying, it is incumbent that we bring to the attention, call to the attention of the common masses of the Muslims, that his saying in this, in the Salat, in Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, bring to the attention of the people that this is a dua. This is not just recitation of the Quran. When you reciting this, you should be conscious and aware, yani, that you are supplicating to Allah, that you are asking Allah every time you say this to guide you upon the straight path. Indeed, this is a great, tremendous, magnificent supplication. Rather, it is the greatest of them and the most noble of all supplications. The Shaykh said, وَالْحَاصُ أَنَّ الدُّعَى وَالْلُجُوعِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَالْإِلْحَاحِ عَلَيْهِ بِالسُّؤَالِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى مِنْ أَعْظَمْ مُجِبَاتِ النَّجَاتِ. So, yani in summary, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and imploring Allah with urgency, asking for whatever it is that we are asking Him, is from the greatest of the causes or the means of salvation on that day. لِأَنَّ الْأَمْرُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ. Because indeed, the matter, the affair, the decision, the judgment is in the hands of Allah. There's no one else who can save us on that day. Therefore, it is incumbent upon us to supplicate and to supplicate frequently. وَقَدْ كَانَ الصَّحَابَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَقُولُونَ فِي رَجَزِهِمْ. Yani the Sahaba used to say in a line of poetry that they were reciting, لَوْلَا اللَّهُ مَا اِحْتَدَيْنَا وَلَا سُمْنَا وَلَا صَلَّيْنَا. That if it wasn't for Allah, we would not have been guided, and we would not have fasted, and we would not have prayed. And if it wasn't for the favor of Allah, the bounty and mercy of Allah, we would not have been guided to Islam, and we would not have performed the deeds that would be the means of our salvation and earning the pleasure of Allah and His reward. And Allah Jalla wa Ala says in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 21st Ayat, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That if it wasn't for the fadl of Allah, the favor and bounty of Allah upon you, and His rahmah, His mercy, if it wasn't for that, it's not due to your intelligence or because you are somebody special. Rather, it is the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy. If not for that, مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا, then no one of you would have been purified ever. No one of you, yani, would have been made pure from his sins, from her sins. But indeed it is Allah who purifies whomever He wills. Yani it is Allah who guides us to Islam. It is Allah who yani gave us the ability and the encouragement and the tawfiq to worship Him, to perform the fasting and the prayers and the dhikr and dua and the recitation of Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayat in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 83rd ayat, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمْ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That if it wasn't for the bounty, the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, then يعني لَاتَّبَعْتُمْ الشَّيْطَانَ, you would definitely have followed Shaytan إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except a few of you. يعني most of the people would have followed Shaytan if it wasn't for the mercy and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ويقول جل وعلا, and Allah says in another place in the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 7th and 8th Ayat, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But it is Allah who has endeared, made beloved to you, al-Iman. Yani, if you are a believer who has Iman, know indeed that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His bounty and His favor, due to Allah's favor upon you that yani He endeared to you, that He made Iman something precious to you. And if you realize, recognize, understand the value of this Iman, then know it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy upon you. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And He is the one who has beautified this Iman in your hearts, made it appear beautiful to you. And the Prophet ﷺ used to say, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinat al-Iman. Allahumma zayyinna bi zinat al-Iman. O Allah, yani adorn us with the adornment of Iman. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ يَرْحَمَكَ اللَّهُ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَقَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Yani indeed, it is Allah who has endeared Iman to you. And it is Allah who has beautified this Iman in your hearts. And it is Allah who caused you to hate kufr and fusuq and isyan, disbelief and wickedness and disobedience. And these whom Allah has endeared their Iman to them and beautified Iman in their hearts and caused them to hate disbelief and to hate wickedness and sin and disobedience, these are those who are rightly guided. Yani if you hate kufr and shirk and sin and transgression, then this is the favor of Allah upon us. This is the favor of Allah upon us. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا. This is Allah's favor, His bounty, and His blessing. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. فَلْيُقْبِلْ طَالِبُ النَّجَاةِ عَلَى رَبِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَلْيُلِحَّ عَلَيْهِ بِالسُّعَالِ. So the Shaykh says, so therefore the one who is seeking salvation, then that person must go forward towards his Rabb, and he must be insistent in requesting with urgency, asking what one needs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentions after this, min mujibat al-najat yawm al-qiyamah, كَثْرَةُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Yani from those causes or the means of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah is abundant istighfar, seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, which one of us yani feels content, yani that we have sufficed in asking Allah's forgiveness for that which we do in a day and a night? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every human being is committing sins by day and by night, and there's no one who forgives sins except Allah. Every human being is committing sins by day and by night. And the best of those who commit sins are those who repent frequently. So let us remind ourselves of the frequency of our sins and therefore understand the need of being frequent in seeking Allah's forgiveness. من موجبات النجاة يوم القيامة كثرة الاستغفار. يعني being plentiful, abundant in seeking forgiveness from Allah. And in the Quran, the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 33rd Ayat, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And it was not for Allah to punish them while you are amongst them. Yani two things, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this ayat, that Allah would not punish a people while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amongst them. The Prophet has passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there remains, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And it was not that Allah would punish them. It is not so. Allah would not punish them while they are in a condition of seeking forgiveness from Him. يعني وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. The wow here is wow al-hal. Meaning that Allah would not punish the people while their state is that they are seeking forgiveness from Him. Sincerely seeking forgiveness for their sins. فَذَكَرَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى الْإِسْتِغْفَارَ مُوجِبًا لِلْنَجَاةِ فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. So Allah, the Majestic, the Most High, He has mentioned al-istighfar as one of the causes or the means or that which would necessitate salvation on that day. Yani that Allah would not punish them while they are in a condition of seeking forgiveness from Him. Therefore, yani from this we can understand the mafhum is that if a person is constantly engaged in conscious, constantly engaged in conscious istighfar, that's not the istighfar like the tasbih of the people that carry around yani a chain of dhikr beads, constantly moving their dhikr beads, and they don't need to buy them now, they can get them on their telephone. It's on the telephone, a picture of some dhikr beads that you can roll down by pressing on your screen. Huh? This is not the dhikr of the person who is constantly engaged in flicking dhikr beads while their mind is somewhere else. But we are saying consciously, constantly, consciously engaged in seeking forgiveness from Allah, realizing, recognizing, acknowledging one's shortcomings, transgressions, going beyond the bounds and falling short in our duties to Allah, and therefore seeking forgiveness from Allah constantly, as much as one is in disobedience to Allah, then to that extent a person is in need of seeking forgiveness from Allah. The Shaykh is saying here that this yani ayat is a proof that Allah will not punish a person while they are engaged in sincerely, consciously seeking His forgiveness. So seeking forgiveness from Allah is from those things which necessitate a person being saved from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Shaykh, he mentions here yani some interesting points that we want to yani close with. وَمِمَّا يُرْوَى عَنْ عَلِي بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَرْضَاهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُحْلَكُ وَالنَّجَاةُ مَعَهُ يعني بِيَدِهِ. Yani from that which has been narrated from Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him and cause him to be pleased, that he said, I am amazed at the one who is destroyed while his salvation is with him, yani in his own hands. I am amazed that a person is destroyed while they have the ability to save themselves from destruction. قَالُوا وَمَا هِيَ. They said, what is it? يَعْنِي مَا هِيَ هَذِهِ النَّجَاةِ. Yani what is this means of salvation that's in the hands of the people and yet they're going to be destroyed anyway? And Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, al-istighfar. So let us just ask ourselves individually, yani indeed no one of us wants to be punished, then the matter is in your own hands. It is a matter of at-tawbah wal-istighfar and asking Allah's pardon as much as we commit sins. وَقَدْ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ Yani along with al-istighfar, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said that al-istighfar is seeking Allah's forgiveness. And then there's tawbah, which is different from istighfar. And then there's tawbah, which is different from istighfar. So the Shaykh, he mentions here, tawbah, the saying of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, tawbah liman wajada. We'll come to the tawbah, I'm sorry. Tawbah liman wajada fi sahifatihi al-istighfar, or istighfaran kathira. Yani, tawbah. And probably the most famous interpretation of this is a tree in paradise. A tree in paradise, yani for the people who would be in paradise, yani a tree whose shade, yani a person, a rider, would ride underneath the shade for 100 years before they reach to the end of it. Tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathira. Yani good news, tuba, yani success for the person who finds in his record of his deeds a lot of istighfar. A lot of istighfar. Plenty of istighfar. Yani this hadith is reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and it's also reported by An-Nasa'i on the authority of Abdullah ibn Busra radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tuba is for the one who finds, who will find, yani in his record of good deeds, a lot of istighfar. And it was mentioned in Zawaid that the isnad of this hadith, yani is sahih, and its narrators are thiqat, and Shaykh al-Albani said in the checking of Sunan Ibn Majah that it is sahih. And just a few comments concerning this hadith, and which the Shaykh mentions here, yani it's mentioned in the explanation of Mishkat al-Masabi, yani this hadith, yani tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathiran, that the meaning of tuba is al-halatu at-tayyiba, yani that a person will be in a good condition. وَالْعِيشَ الرَّاضِيَةِ يعني they will have a life that would be pleasing in the next life. Or الشَّجَرَةُ الْمَشْهُورَةِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ الْعَالِيَةِ, or the tree that is well known in the lofty garden of paradise. تُوبَ لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ لِمَنْ وَجَدَ أي صَادَفَ, يعني who found, who will find unexpectedly, they will find in their record, in their sahifa, yani a lot of istighfar, yani in their record, meaning at the time of accounting in the next life. Istighfaran kathiran, he said, yani istighfaran kathiran, yani maqboolan, yani istighfar that was accepted by Allah. And this is because, as it was said by one of the women from the Salaf, Rabi'atu al-Adawiyya, rahimahullah, she said, لِأَنَّ إِسْتِغْفَارَنَا يَحْتَاجْ إِلَى إِسْتِغْفَارٍ كَثِيرٍ, yani that our istighfar is in need of a lot more of istighfar in order for it to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And al-Tibi, he said, in explanation of this hadith, it has been said, why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, تُوبَى لِمَنْ إِسْتَغْفَرَ كَثِيرًا, yani why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said tuba liman istaghfara kathira, yani tuba for the one who made a lot of istighfar, as opposed to tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathira. Yani there's a difference between the two. Yani he didn't say tuba for the one who just kept saying astaghfirullah, but he said tuba to the one who finds in his record on yawm al-qiyamah recorded, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his istighfar. So what is the benefit of this wording? Yani he said that the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا, this is a kinaya. Yani it is an indirect way of saying, yani that which indicates that his istighfar has been accepted. Yani it is a way of indicating that his istighfar was definitely sincere istighfar. Yani jazman ala al-ikhlas. لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مُخْلِسًا فِيهِ كَانَ هَبَانْ مَنْثُورًا فَلَمْ يَجِدْ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِلَّا مَا يَكُونُ حُجَّةً عَلَيْهِ وَبَالًا لَهُ. And this is because if a person was not sincere in their istighfar, then it would just be like floating dust particles, and they wouldn't find in their sahifa on Yawm al-Qiyamah anything except that which would be a proof against them and an evil consequence of their deed. And finally, a note also concerning this matter of al-istighfar. وَرَوَى الطَّبَرَانِي فِي الْأَوْسَطِ يعني in his book, يعني the three books that he collected of hadith, the Awsat, he said, narrated from Az-Zubayr ibn Awam radiallahu anhu, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ تَسُرَّهُ صَحِيفَتُهُ فَلْيُكْثِرْ فِيهَا مِنَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. Yani whoever would be pleased, would love to be pleased with his sahifa, with his record on Yawm al-Qiyamah, then that person must perform a lot of istighfar. That perhaps at least one of his seeking forgiveness, at least one of them would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah would forgive him. And the isnad of this hadith, Al-Haythami said that the Rijaluhu Thiqat, yani the narrators of this hadith, are reliable narrators. Al-Munzari said that the isnad of this hadith, لا بس به, يعني it's okay, it's acceptable. And Shaykh al-Albani mentioned it in al-Sahiha, يعني السلسلة الحديث الصحيحة, يعني that it is authentic. There's one more point that the Shaykh mentions here, and we won't have time to finish it, but anyway, I will start it and read some of it, and then maybe we'll take questions. Naam. And next week, inshallah, we'll complete the final point with whatever questions remain, yani with this topic, some questions that remain with it that the Shaykh answered related to the topic. We'll look at a few of them. Yani the final point is, we won't read it tonight, yani because of the time, and I don't want to hasten through it. It's yani indeed of utmost importance. وَمِن مُوجِبَاتِ النَّجَاةِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنْ لَا يُعْجِبْ الْمَرْءُ بِعَمَلِهِ وَأَنْ لَا يَغْتَرَّ بِنَفْسِهِ وَأَنْ لَا يَغْتَرَّ بِطَاعَتِهِ. Yani that a person, from the things that would be the means of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is that a person would not be proud of his deeds or her deeds, and a person would not be deceived, yani deluded by himself or by his acts of obedience to Allah. Yani that a person would not become vain or conceited or proud because they have stood in the night, or they have memorized the Qur'an, or they recite the Qur'an every day, or they have given some charity, or they have done some good deeds, whatever it might be, that a person does not become proud of their self and yani become vain and deluded and deceived into believing that they are safe because they have done some good deeds. This is indeed a topic of importance. Inshallah, we'll complete it next week. And if there's any questions about what we discussed today, we can take a couple of questions and then we'll stop, inshallah. Any questions, anything that was not clear on what we discussed today? Okay, then a couple of points of advice. If you think of a question, inshallah, from the first of the advices for the fasting person, it is necessary that your food and drink be halal in order that your deeds be accepted and that your supplication be answered. It is necessary that your food and your drink be halal. And this is important because sometimes we're fasting and at the end of the day a person may be very hungry. They don't care what they might eat. Yani whatever comes, they're going to eat it. Beware of fasting that is abstaining from the lawful and then breaking your fast with the unlawful, such as smoking or backbiting or slandering and other than that. Yani beware of fasting, abstaining from that which Allah otherwise had made lawful for us, and then breaking your fast by engaging in that which is haram all the time. Also, guard your tongue from lying, cursing, backbiting, and tale-bearing. Surely these things decrease the reward of the fasting if they don't outright invalidate it. And we discussed this issue in the past, that there are some scholars who say that the only thing that invalidates the fast is that which is specifically related to the fast. While some scholars say, yani, there are other things that are not directly related to fasting that also invalidate the fast because the purpose of the fast is loss. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yada qawla zu' wal amala bihi wal jahla falaysa lillahi hajatun bi'an yada'a ta'amahu wa sharabahu." That whoever doesn't give up false speech and false behavior, action that's in accord with it, and ignorance, then Allah has no need for that person to give up their food and drink that is otherwise lawful. Allah has no need of that if you're not going to give up that which He has made unlawful. And from amongst those things, He said false speech, and that includes lying, yani, backbiting, false witnessing, and so on, and everything else that could be included under that of speech and action. Beware, yani, guard your tongue. Beware of wasting your time without performing good deeds. Surely you will be questioned about your time, called to account about it, and rewarded for whatever deeds you have done with it. Yani, indeed, some of us waste our time in sleeping, some of us waste our time in watching television, watching the, I guess, I don't know if it is the finals yet, or close to the finals, NBA, is actual finals. Yani, some of us waste our time in those things that will bring no benefit, while yani, they could have been engaged in that which will be of benefit. Beware of wasting your time in doing anything that will not weigh as a good deed on your scales on Yawmul Qiyamah. Indeed, we'll be questioned about the time. No person will move forward on Yawmul Qiyamah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter their destination, except that they will be questioned about four things or five things. Yani, in some of the narrations it came a little different, and from amongst them, yani, is your lifespan. How did you spend it? And for those who are not elderly yet, your youth. Your youth. How did you use it? And we will also be asked about our wealth. How did we earn it? And how did we spend it? And some people think if they earn their wealth in a lawful means, then it's theirs, they can spend it however they wish. Not so. You will be questioned about your wealth. How did you earn it? And how did you spend it? And you will also be questioned about what? Ya ilm. Mada yani? An ilmik. Yani mada amila bima alima. What did you do with that which you knew? And finally, yani, let us yani try to emphasize in this month of Ramadan, yani, sincere repentance, turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from our sinful behaviors before Ramadan, especially those things that we used to engage in outside of Ramadan. Yani, let us repent from them with the repentance that means that a person stops doing it, feels remorse for it, and makes firm resolve not to return to it. Not today, not tomorrow, not on the day of the Eid, or after Ramadan. Rather, yani, that with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never return to those things that we have given up in Ramadan. As the scholars, yani, used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Rabb, not only of Ramadan, Shahr Ramadan, but He is the Rabb of Ash-Shuhur Kulliha. Yani, He is the Lord of all the months, all the days, all the years, yani, all the time. So Allah is not just to be worshipped in Ramadan, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be worshipped all the time. وَعْبُدُ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَعْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. So worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until yani, that which is certain comes, and that which is certain is al-maut, death. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.